It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Well, welcome to Quantum number 303. Quantum podcast that looks at news and views from throughout the world. We listen to different music. We go all over the world. This week, for example, we're going to North Korea, Sudan, Argentina, Scotland, Australia, the US, the UK. This week, we're going to leave out Gaza, Ukraine, the Trump trial, Tory MPs defecting, the whole climate change stuff, because we cover these so much, and I do want to go and do some other things as well, but they are all relevant. I think they are all relevant to where we're at. I'm also working through my top 100 Spotify songs from last year, and the music you will hear, most of it will be numbers 30 to 26, but not this first one. This first one is from North Korea. Enjoy a little of this. That is now a TikTok hit. It is. I love this. It's I love it and I don't love it. It's a song released on North Korean state TV. It's gone viral on TikTok, and you really do need to see the video, which has, you know, smiling North Korean troops and women in uniforms and so on, describing Kim Jong-un as warm-hearted and friendly. Songs about are sung about him all the time. Now, there's two things about that. One, can you imagine, maybe you can, that happening in terms of Joe Biden or Anthony Albanese or the new Scottish First Minister, John Swinney? Well, maybe. I doubt it. Or Richie Sunak. But I think the other thing that's probably a little bit disturbing, to be honest, is that it's gone viral in Western countries, and you can actually see people. I think what's going on in the West means that you could actually see young people embracing North Korea as a kind of model, because it's got nice videos. And if you think I'm exaggerating, well, I probably am a bit, but honestly, the reality is this. The reality is that we have thousands of students who are embracing Hamas and thinking Hamas are great. The dumbing down of our society and culture. I think next week I'm going to look at how a lot of this has happened in terms of our children. But anyway, the North Koreans, cuddly North Korea. Let's move on to Argentina. We've been covering a little bit Javier Milei, who has had apparently a great start to transforming Argentina. Inflation is down by 300% to 11%. The Telegraph had a fascinating article on Argentina's shale boom, and it's now really developing, so much so that Argentina, which was very dependent on energy imports and has a chronic leakage of hard currency, is now going to be exporting things. Argentina used to be a wealthy country. It used to be equivalent to Australia in terms of exporting minerals and elsewhere, and it stopped doing all that. It's this Peronist economic viewpoint has just made the country so much poorer. And I suspect that it's going to be, well, we'll see how it works out. But at the moment, it is looking good for Argentina. Okay, we've moved from Asia to South America. Let's go to Africa, and here is our country of the week. Let's see if you can work it out from their national anthem.
نتحدى الموت عند المحن نشتري المجد بأغلى ثمن
هذه الأرض لنا فليعش سوداننا علما بين الأمم.
That is the Sudanese national anthem. We are the soldiers of God, the soldiers of our homeland. We never fail when called for sacrifice. Death we defied adversity. Glory we buy with the highest price. This land is ours. I find that quite a sad anthem, actually, in many ways, not least because of the war and bloodshed that has been ongoing in Sudan, in Darfur, in elsewhere, South Sudan, which I'm not including in this, by the way, because it is a separate country, one with its own particular problems. But the Sudan we're looking at is North Sudan. It's 1,888,000 plus square kilometers, 50 million plus people. The capital, of course, is Khartoum. Sudan was a name given historically to the Sahel region of West Africa, to the immediate west of modern-day Sudan. The British ran Sudan for a considerable period of time. The name derives from the Arabic Bilad al-Sudan, or the land of the blacks. Sudan was, before that, was known as Nubia, if you read your ancient history, or Tasiti by the ancient Egyptians. It's such a massive country. I'm told it's very beautiful. I have friends who worked there, what I've seen of the photographs and all the rest of it. But it's just had so much difficulty and wars. And the latest, for example, in April 2023, just a year ago, an internationally brokered peace plan for a transition to civilian rule from military rule, that was discussed. There were power struggles. And the national leader, Abdel Fattah el-Burhan, and his deputy, Hetmeti, formed the Jawajid militia. And there was a civil war in the streets of Khartoum. Did you hear about this last year? I think we did mention it. Hundreds of people were killed. Thousands were injured, including workers from the World Food Programme. It's interesting again, coming back to this whole Israel thing, we get lots of protests about what's going on in Gaza. Nothing about what's happened in Sudan, including aid workers being killed. Both the Sudanese Armed Forces and the RSF, that's the Rapid Support Forces, the militia, are accused of war crimes. There are 6 million people internally displaced. 1.5 million fled the country. And again, we're back to Darfur, which is one of the most cursed nations of the world, I think. 15,000 people killed in the city of Jenin, possibly hundreds of thousands elsewhere. 8.6 million people forced out of their homes. 18 million facing severe hunger. Not a word of protest. Not a word anywhere. Our spoilt elite youths marching on campus because they care about the Palestinians. Couldn't care, ironically, about the blacks. Oh dear. Just very, very sad. It's a country that's 90% Muslim, 5% Christian, a very difficult place to be a Christian, but we pray for the advance of the gospel in that land. Let's have a little bit of Sudanese music. This is Salam Said.
اشوف عينك معايا لما اشوف
Okay, let's move to Scotland, where in an astonishing turn of events, we reported before how Humza Yousaf was being removed. He's been replaced by John Swinney. There won't be an election within the SNP because Kate Forbes agreed not to stand. And it looks as though the price for her agreeing not to stand is that she has become the Deputy First Minister, which is an extraordinary thing for an evangelical Christian in today's Scotland. Here's the commentator from the Hollywood Sources podcast, which I find an excellent thing, Jeff Aberdeen. This is what he has to say about it.
Kate came very close to stepping down at the last leadership contest. After the start, the very publicised start that she had around her religious beliefs, I do know for a fact that she considered stepping down. I believe she confirmed that on our podcast, actually. But she stuck in. Now, that decision is crucial in all of what we've seen since. So the fact she stuck in at that point, picked herself off the canvas, put up a fight to Humza Yousaf, got 48% of the vote. She lost, but she actually won because a year later, she finds herself about to enter government in what we believe to be a senior role. She couldn't have done that had she not chosen to stand in that election. And so the way I was thinking about it is there's been two SNP leadership contests recently. Kate Forbes took part in one of them. She lost. And the other, she didn't even stand. And yet she somehow won both of them. Two elections, won both of them. Not bad politics when you haven't actually really won.
You know, she won both, even though she lost or didn't stand in one, lost the other one. I think Kate has won. I think her overall attitude has been excellent. I think she's been very wise in all of this. The level of abuse, I woke up this morning to the news that she'd been appointed, and the level of vitriolic abuse and hatred against her on Twitter or X is quite astonishing, particularly from the Greens. And the Greens have said, this is what they say, the Scotland we want to build is one where everyone is free to be themselves. Yeah, no. That's a lie. And it's a lie so often that phrase is used. It's just a lie. It's a meaningless lie. Kate Forbes is not free to be a biblical Christian. The Greens don't want that. There are lots of things that, when people say free to be themselves, what they mean is free to be as we would want you to be. Now, what's interesting in all this that occurs in Scotland is that it was the transgender issue that brought down Humza Yousaf, I think. I think J.K. Rowling had a big part to play in it, the gender recognition bill and so on. John Swinney, however, now needs to rely on the Greens because his party so hates the only MP from Alba who could keep them in majority government that they now have to rely on the Green votes. And the Green vote will come at a price. And the transgender issue for the Greens, the sexual issues and the gender issues are way more important than climate. And so conversion therapy and the response to Dr. Hilary Cass's transgender report is going to be the big issue. Well, we'll see what happens. Meanwhile, I came across this from Scotland. Just listen to this, a little bit of this.
Pleasure, honour and privilege to be here this afternoon to say a few words to yourselves. I've been a friend of Perth Mosque for something like 20 years, and you don't know how delighted this makes me feel that you have this wonderful new facility. And it is wonderful. And coming in today, like seeing this great resource for all of Perth Muslims available and open to you guys today makes me really happy and delighted.
Probably that is Pete Wishart, the SNP MP. At the opening of the new Perth Mosque, which looks a large and full, unlike the Perth churches. And I just have a simple question. Would Pete Wishart go to the opening of a new free church? I don't think so. I don't think he would at all. We live in a country where Kate Forbes can be abused because she's an evangelical Christian, and a government minister can go, or a government MP, will go to the mosque and praise the mosque. Remember I reported about Perth Museum, somebody saying about Christianity, a member of the staff, your turn has gone. So what's it going to be, Scotland? Paganism, as Perth Museum said, or Islam? Or maybe we'll return to the faith of our fathers. All right, it's not Scottish, but it comes close. This is Planxty, a little bit of Merrily Kiss the Quaker. In our world, we talk about gender balance. Isn't that right? So you'll get a political party will say things like, we want gender balance in terms of our MPs. Or you'll get a government like the Scottish government boasting that they have 50% men, 50% women in the cabinet. Now, personally, I think a lot of that is nonsense because I think the best person should get the job irrespective of gender. And to think that you got the job because of your gender, or at least that being a significant factor, would be quite demeaning and patronizing. But it's interesting how things move on, and this whole gender thing, and the attack on men and the attack on masculinity. It's always toxic masculinity, isn't there? There's no such thing as toxic femininity. Well, I looked at the new Scottish cabinet, and there are 8 women and 3 men. Now, if it was the other way around, if it was 8 men and 3 women, there'd be complaints. And all that that goes to show is that the gender balance argument only goes one way. Now, we see that in another context. Here's a well-known comedian.
Oddly enough, in the days of the suffragette movement, possibly you could argue it was socialists who had the most objection, because the suffragette movement only asked for votes for property-owning women. And the socialists regarded that as deeply wrong because they said, well, that would just stuff Parliament with even more bourgeoisie.
Yeah, we wouldn't want that.
Yeah. And in fact, a lot of the enemies of votes for women were...
Were women.
Were women,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There you are. These are the women against it, and they didn't want
to... That's the one behind going.
Now, that's Stephen Fry. Now, what's interesting is Stephen Fry has come out recently to complain about the Garrick Club being men-only. Now, it's as though he just noticed he's been a member of the Garrick Club for some time. But all of a sudden, this has now become an issue. And the Garrick Club, which is a London club, it's all male, founded in 1831, is now opening its doors to women. That's seen as a great victory against sexist, misogynistic Britain. Now, there are several all-women clubs. Should we object to them? I'm talking about in London. See, I think that there's another issue with these clubs anyway. And the answer to that, of course, would be no, you can have all women clubs, but you can't have all men clubs. Although the all women clubs will soon be done away with when you've got men who identify as women. But I think the problem is simply this. These clubs, they're full of high court judges, top barristers, politicians, the head of MI6, for example, members of the House of Lords, even King Charles, heads of arts organisations. So it's a club for the elite. Now, is it a sign that women can now join the power elite? Or, actually, are these clubs themselves not a great idea anyway? People like me would never be invited to join them. So I have a real problem with this kind of thing anyway. So you've got a cultural imbalance within our culture, a gender imbalance, which continually denigrates the male. And you see an example here in Australia where the Australian Defence Force, there's a report saying that it's too macho. Sorry. It's too macho to attract women. Yeah. Yeah. Well, good luck with that one. In Australia also, we've got another interesting thing here. The state government in New South Wales is furious at a council in West Sydney where the Cumberland City Councillors voted for a book, for a council vote. They voted to remove same-sex parenting books from library shelves. Now, the arts, of course, that's blasphemy in today's culture, so they're going to be probably fined or have funding removed. The argument against is they're saying it's up to readers to choose which book to take off the shelf. Yeah, but that's an argument for pornography. That's an argument for Nazi books. That's an argument for it's up. Readers can surely choose to take off the shelf what they want. And most people don't go there. The reality is that the whole same-sex thing, I mean, would, for example, Newtown City Council allow books that were critical of same-sex parenting? Or would that just be deemed beyond the pale? So it seems as though there's kind of one standard for one group of people and another standard for another. It's a bit like the Greens back in Scotland. We want people to be whoever they are as long as you sign up to whatever we want. All right, time for another little classical break. This is Classical Gas from Mason Williams. Right, I've been reluctant to go on the anti-vaccine thing. I think I've had 3 doses of the vaccine. I'll not get another one. One dose I got was from the Oxford AstraZeneca COVID vaccine, which is now being withdrawn worldwide after the pharmaceutical giant admitted for the first time in court documents that it can cause a rare and dangerous side effect. Well, rare and dangerous. How rare? At least 81 deaths in the UK, as well as hundreds of serious injuries, are tied up with it. AstraZeneca is being sued by more than 50 alleged victims, and the whole drug is now being withdrawn. See, I took the drug because I did what I was told, in a sense. I believed the government. And I was very wary of the skeptics. And it turns out, the skeptics may well have been right. Let's go back to Africa. Let's go to Nigeria. Michael Palin is visiting Nigeria.
Nigeria, an extraordinary country and a complex puzzle.
This is exciting. My first time in Nigeria.
Known as the giant of Africa, it's a place full of wonder and contradictions. I'm embarking on a 1,300-mile journey. From the people in vibrant, hectic Lagos.
This is the hot spot.
To the heat and rituals of the Islamic North.
In this chaos, there's also harmony.
Now, I read an interesting article by Emma Worrell. I think it was in Premier Christianity. In fact, it was. From Open Doors. Emma is from Open Doors. And she pointed out that in Palin's documentary, that Nigeria, which is ranked 6th on the Open Doors World Watch list, is one of the most dangerous places in the world to be a Christian. If it was purely ranked on the basis of violence, Nigeria would be top. Last year, over 5,000 Christians died for their faith, more than in the rest of the world put together. And Palin hardly says a word about that. He can talk about the horrors of the past, but what is it that's stops him talking about the horrors of today? He can point out the excesses of the TV-style mega-evangelists. But why not point out the persecution that Christians are facing? I'm not saying he totally ignores it, but according, I haven't seen it yet, but according to Emma, he just trivializes it or puts it very much to one side. Let me put it another way. If there were 5,000 gay people being killed every year, I think that would not only be the center of his documentary, but numerous documentaries and numerous sanctions and all the rest of it. Sport, I've just watched Real Madrid beat Bayern Munich, so they get to play Borussia Dortmund in the European Cup final. It was a great game, actually, and Real Madrid did extraordinarily well. But an interesting story from the world of darts. British female darts player Dita Hedman has refused to play a transgender, a man who's in the women's competition. Now, I'm not playing against a man in a woman's event. That's what she said. She was asked, Hedman was asked, and I thought this was a really legitimate question. What advantage is there in being male in a darts competition? You would think it's not that much advantage. But she answered that question really well. She said, you ever suffered from menstrual, perimenopause, menopause, fibroids, endometriosis, etc.? By your response, I very much doubt it. I think it's a pretty good principle that men should not be taking part in women's sport, even if they call themselves women. I wonder what John Swinney would think about that. All right, let's have a little culture break. Here's Marcello's Oboe Concerto in D minor, at least a little of it. That's a sublime piece of music to introduce our horrendous topic, dog ice cream. Now, I read this a while ago and thought, no, I can't be right, but it is right. Tubs that get tails wagging. You can buy Purina Frosty Paws, Wiggles and Wags, Freeze Fetty, Frozzy's Dog Ice Cream, Pooch Creamery Vanilla. For the ethical rich, you can buy Cool Dog Vegan, retailing at an astonishing £120. In Australian terms, that's $250 for a 5-litre tub. Wow. Aldi makes its own dog ice cream, and you get dog lollipops. Dogs shouldn't have ice cream because they're lactose intolerant, so what they do is they scoop says, we've made our dog-friendly ice cream with reduced lactose milk. Why give them it at all? A company called Woof and Brew that models itself on the hipster brewery BrewDog have had a smash it this summer with the Popsicle Freeze Pops. Ice treats for those on 4 feet made with pet house white. Extraordinary. Dogs will eat basically anything. I don't know. Shit. The author of this article says, I feel like an alien in my own country. And there's numerous other examples of this as well. It's National Dog Day on 26 August, and in advance of the big day, the insane dog indulgence industry is cracking up. A restaurant called Los Muchos in Notting Hill is offering a decadent three-course doggy menu to celebrate the 26th. To ensure your furry friend's meal is as lavish as it can be, Los Muchos has partnered with DogVR, the luxury dog caviar. Just £50 for one small tin of caviar oil and caviar protein. Jonas, we deserve all that's coming to us. One of the problems with the insanity of today's world and the internet is it's really hard to work out what's spoof and what's not real. I did something last week where I mentioned about misgendering pets. Turns out that was a spoof. Apologies for having been taken in. There's another one today that I'm not sure whether it's true or not. But Alexander Marshall, the journalist, is reporting that London Mayor Khan has a Muslim housing plan. If that was true, then it would be housing based upon religion. Now, some people have said it's not true. On the other hand, I've come across things like the North London Muslim Housing Association. One wonders if the ghettoization of cities in Europe is going to continue with this. I don't know. Tell you what, let's just have a wee bit of Bach before I finish with one more thing. That's Bach, Wachet auf, ruft uns die Stimme. Church of Scotland, we're coming towards assembly season, and there's a video being put out about the Church of Scotland. I put a link to it on the website, commenting on its decline, which is really quite extraordinary. But what was just as extraordinary is this message from Reverend David Cameron, convener of the Assembly Trustees, who says that the Church of Scotland is on the cusp of a transformation revival that demands bold decisions and genuine embrace of change, is poised for renewal and ready to reclaim the good news in ways that resonate with the needs of our time. It's declining, its membership is in free fall, its finances are departing, and yet somehow someone is going to go and say, hey, revival's just around the corner, just like all politicians do that, don't they? Do you know, my faith is in Christ, not in all the plans and ideas and ideologies of men or women, including those who run churches. So I'm going to love you and leave you with Nick Cave's Breathless. I think it was my number 26 song. Love Nick Cave. I sometimes feel almost breathless with some of the stuff that we look at. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. It's up in the morning and on the downs, little white clouds like gambling lambs, and I am breathless over you. At the whispering stream, at the bubbling brook, the fishes leap up to take a look, for they are breathless over you. Still your hands and still your heart, for still your face comes shining through, and all the morning glows anew, still your mind, still your soul. For still the fire of love is true, and I am breathless without you. It's great stuff. Thanks to Peter for producing this. Thanks to you for listening. Thanks for all the comments. I mentioned Sudan. I want to say hi to the folks from St. John's Presbyterian Church in Hobart, where I was last weekend, and got to meet some lovely Sudanese people in the church there. Thanks to those of you who helped fund this. Please feel free to do so on the Podbean fundraiser. Again, all the links from the website, www.theweeflea.com. And please do send in comments, suggestions, and so on for news and views. God bless you wherever you are, whether it's North Korea. And we have had a listener from North Korea. Whether it's Argentina, whether it's Sudan, whether it's Australia or the UK or America, Canada, wherever you are, may the Lord bless you and may you be breathless over him as he breathes his life into you. Bye.
It's up in the morning, it's on the dance, and little white clouds like a gambling lamps. And I am a breathless over you, and the red-breasted robin beats his wings as a throat. It trembles when he sings, for he is helpless before you. And the happy hooded bluebells bow and a bend of their heads all down. Heavy by the early morning dew, at the whispering stream, at the bubbling brook, the fishes leap up to take a look, for they are breathless over you. Still your hands, still your heart, still your face comes shining through, and all the morning glows anew. Still your mind, still your soul, for still the fire of the love is true, and I am a breathless without you. The wind circles among the trees and it bangs about the new-made leaves, for it is a breathless without you. And the fox chases the rabbit around, and the rabbit hides beneath the ground, for he is defenseless without you. The sky of daytime dies away, and all the earthly things, they stop to play, for we are all breathless without you. I listen to my jordering bones and the blood in my veins, the wind in my lungs, and I am a breathless without you. Still your hands, still your heart, but still your face comes shining through, and all the morning glows anew. Still your soul, still your mind, for still the fire of the love is true, and I am a breathless without you.